and welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue in John chapter 15. If you can, have your Bible ready. Looking at the story in John chapter 15 that happened about 2,000 years ago, and we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." These things are here to admonish us. We're trying to learn what we can learn from this portion of Scripture. Before we look at it, listen to this message in song. It's a tremendous message about the woman in the Bible who came to the feet of Jesus while the religious hypocrites were actually despising him. It's called The City Woman.
I heard the gossip from my window. I ran to Simon's lovely home. I knew I'd never be invited. For a city woman I was known. The Pharisee has much to offer of his great knowledge, wealth, and goods. But all I have are years of weeping. No fancy food or pretty words. I'd bathe his feet with tears and kisses. Perfume I'd give him from my bowl. Ah, what dreams of his forgiveness. What hungering to be made whole. I saw him enter and be seated. I could not hide the joy I felt to be so near the precious Jesus. At his poor tired feet I knelt. Oh Lord, my love is all I offer. I lay my life down at your feet. I begged for his forgiveness. With my own hair I wiped his feet. A crown could Simon place upon him. A thousand gifts he could have spared. But in his heart he scorned the prophet and the city woman kneeling there. Well, Jesus knew and he said, "Simon, you gave no water for my feet. You gave no kiss, no oil anointing. You only offered me your meat." She's bathed my feet with tears and kisses, and ointment from a precious bowl. Now I'll forgive her years of sinning, for her faith has made her whole. Such words of joy, such words of mercy, upon this sinner's ears did fall. When we show faith and true repentance, the Savior answers when we call. We dare not judge my lofty brother. The grace of God is shed to all. and it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart that giveth all. And it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart that giveth all.
Well, as we study this portion of Scripture and every portion of Scripture, we like to look at it in three areas: observation, interpretation, and application. Observation, according to the dictionary, is the action or process of observing something or someone carefully in order to gain information. Interpretation is the action of explaining the meaning of something, and that's important because words change their meanings over the years as time goes on, and we need to look at the scriptures that we're looking at in their context and see if we can come up with the meaning of everything that we're studying. Then the third part, an important part, is application. Application is the action of putting something into operation or the discharge of a function, and we're here for a purpose. A function is the activity or purpose intended for a person or a thing. Once we're saved, we're saved to serve. We're saved here. If all we're saved for is to go to heaven, the Lord would have done us a favor by taking us there a couple of seconds after we get saved. We're here for a function, the activity or purpose that God intended for us to be in this world. And so, as we said, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So we want to see what we can learn here. Written for our admonition. It also says in Romans 15, verse number 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, learning is the acquiring of knowledge. Over and over again, we read in the Word of God that God would not have us to be ignorant. Romans 1 and 13, "I would not have you ignorant." Romans 11, 25, "I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant." 1 Corinthians 10, 1, "I would not that ye should be ignorant." 1 Corinthians 12, 1, "I would not have you ignorant." 1 Corinthians 14, 38, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." Paul, in that portion of Scripture, for three chapters there, was talking about the subject of tongues, and that's just a subject we need to get into someday and see what the Bible says about that. But he starts off saying, "I would not have you to be ignorant," and after three chapters, which, by the way, is all one paragraph in the Greek, and at the end of that, he says, "Well, if you're going to be ignorant, go ahead and be ignorant." That's just the way it is. You make a decision whether you're going to be ignorant concerning the things of God or whether you're not. And if we're not, it's going to be because we observe what we're looking at, we interpret what we're looking at, and then we make the application. He went on to say in 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant." 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, "I would not have you to be ignorant." 2 Peter 3, 8, "Beloved, be not ignorant." And then Peter also talks in chapter 3 and verse 5 of those that are willingly ignorant. And if we do not get into the Word of God, we're going to be ignorant because we are willfully ignorant. We haven't got time to put that into our life. We get busy doing this, that, and the other thing, and no time to study the Scriptures. Then you are willfully ignorant, according to the Word of God. Now, if we're going to have knowledge, which he said here in Romans 15, verse number 4, that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, which is the acquiring of knowledge, then what we need to do is make sure that we're getting the right information. And Jesus said when he was praying to his Father in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And so there's the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and there's only one truth about everything, we look and we say, what's the truth about separation? Where's the line of separation? And boy, there's a lot of different opinions on that. There's only one truth about that as far as God's concerned. What is the truth about music? What should the standard be there? God has one truth for that. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit as we get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into us, and we can know the truth about these issues. Now, you should not believe anything you read in anybody's commentary. You should not believe anything you hear on this broadcast until you go to the Scriptures daily, check the Scriptures, and see if these things be so. Don't believe anybody because you like, or don't disbelieve somebody because you don't like them. Go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God teach you. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Our problem today is we will not take the time to say, Lord, I want the truth. Mainly because sometimes you may have to change your opinion on what you think about the standards or separation or music or any of these other things. Oh, I don't want to have to say I was wrong. Yeah, well, you haven't lived as long as you've lived and not been wrong somewhere. And so what we need to do is to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. And so over and over again, the Word of God says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now we're looking at John chapter 15, verse number 1. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. And we are the branches that come from the vine. And unless we abide in the Spirit and we abide in Christ and we have this relationship with the Lord, then we're not going to be bearing any fruit. It's a byproduct of our relationship with Him. So He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now we looked at the interpretation of that. The vine was a symbol of God's chosen relationship with the nation of Israel. They had a lot of advantages in the Word of God. We read in Psalm 147, verse 19, He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And so we gave the illustration here on a previous broadcast where we were talking about the vine and the branches in Isaiah chapter 5. You remember God said that he gave them a fruitful hill. He fenced in the property there where they were going to have their vineyard. He gathered out the stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He built a tower in the midst of it. He made a wine press therein, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now, Israel turned out to be bringing forth wild grapes, and we've seen that in the previous broadcast. But we have the story also back in 2 Kings chapter 4, which it ties in with this, and it shows us that no grapes would be better than wild grapes. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, we have the story of Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and see pottage for the sons of the prophets. So there's a dearth in the land. We're talking about the sons of the prophet here. Now, these are prophets. These are God's people. And there's a dearth in the land in spite of that. And so Elisha says, put on the pottage. Now, pottage is a meal that satisfies. Well, verse number 39 says, and one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. A wild vine. Remember, it says that Israel brought forth wild grapes. He found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. There was a serious lack of discernment here. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And so they had no discernment. They're putting this wild vine into the pot. Oh, I'm sure you can make the application for that for today. A lot of wild vine. And what is the result? Verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "Oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. A lot of that going on today. As I've said many times, one of the major issues that we have today, it was fundamentalists by name who came up with a plan in recent years that we do not have to repent in order to be saved. And again, that was Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson of the Sword of the Lord. And they said, oh no, Jesus, you know, they would come right out and say Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, but that's what they said. Oh, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." The Bible commands that all men everywhere repent or perish. No, you don't need to repent. Just believe. That's all you have to do. Well, that's false doctrine from hell. That's what that is. What is that? It's death in the pot. If you do not believe what Jesus said, if you just want to pray a prayer, there's all kinds of religious cults praying prayers, from cults to Catholics to Baptists, just praying prayers. That's not it. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And anything different than that is death in the pot. We need to wake up. We think we call ourselves fundamental independent Baptists. You can call yourself anything you want to call yourself. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Supply.